You are listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast for Sunday morning, July 4th. Dr. Mike Wells preaches a message entitled, America, Past, Present, Future.
Amen. Take your Bible, go back if you will. Go to Psalm 33 and verse 12. I want us to reread these verses here for emphasis sake. And I want to speak to you this morning on America, past, present, and future. Psalm 33 and verse 12, the Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he have chosen for his own inheritance. Then in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 27, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. And so God says that when a person fears the Lord, it prolongeth days. He has days onto your life, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Today we celebrate that which is an Independence Day. Today is 4th of July. Today is a day that we can look back and say, thank God that our forefathers established a nation that would honor and fear God. Today we celebrate 234 years of being a free country. But what is it that makes America so special? Why is America such a place that God, for many, many, many decades, has rested his good hand of blessing and protection upon? The Bible tells us over in 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. Here's Peter speaking, and he says this. He says, I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. So what I want to do is I want to stir up our pure minds by way of remembering some things. Statement number one, what was it that caused God to bless America? What has God done in America? Christopher Columbus sailed the seas in 1504, and he wrote this as he was sailing the sea. He said, I was led of the Holy Spirit to carry the message of the gospel to the undisclosed lands. So his intent for coming to another place, his intent from going from one land to another land, was to spread the gospel. The purpose of the pilgrims that was coming to America to establish the commonwealth, you see, all had biblical standards. When you read about that, which was the Mayflower Compact, you'll see that they used these words. It says, the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. When you think about the Puritans came from that which was the Church of England. They came forth to America because they said they wanted to come to a place where they could have citizenship under the laws of God. You think about the Plymouth chapter in that colony, as it was established, said this, to advance the enlargement of the Christian religion to the glory of God Almighty. You think about the Delaware chapter. The Delaware chapter, their purpose for that colony is underwritten this way, to further propagate that which is the Holy Gospel. The Virginia chapter, as it was established, said this. They said for Christians to have peace, and they said, and I quote, to propagate the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Christian religion, to such people that yet live in ignorance. It says, the true knowledge of worship of God. The Rhode Island Compact says this. It says, we submit our persons, our lives, our estates to our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. William Penn was the one. He was a Quaker, and he established Pennsylvania, New York, Delaware, Connecticut, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia. William Penn said this. He said, the policies of Pennsylvania shall be as following, and for all states under my establishment. All treasurers, judges, and all elected officials should profess first Jesus Christ as their Savior. July the 4th, 1776, that which was the Continental Congress gathered for that which was the day of the establishment of that which is the Declaration of Independence. Before they picked up a pen to sign that which is the Declaration of Independence, they first had a song service, they had a prayer meeting, they fasted, and they read from the Bible. There was a preacher that established that which is the Pledge of Allegiance. There was another preacher by the name of Samuel Smith that wrote the hymn, My Country, 'Tis of Thee. There was another preacher that wrote that which was the introduction to that which is the First Amendment of the Constitution. Think about this. Prior to the war between the states, 90% of all the American colleges were presidents that were preachers of the gospel. 90% of them. Harvard was established by a preacher. Yale was established by a preacher. Princeton was established by a preacher. Brown was established by a preacher. William was established by a preacher. Mary was established by a preacher. Columbia was established by a preacher. John Harvard was a pastor in a church that was located in Charleston, Massachusetts. He was the one that is the namesake for Harvard University. Listen to his policies as to why Harvard University was established. He says, every student be plainly instructed and earnestly pressed to consider, it says, well, the main ends of his life and his studies, to know God, Jesus Christ, which is eternal life. And therefore, lay Christ at the bottom as the foundation of all knowledge and learning. To see that our Lord only is given wisdom, and to let every serious set himself student for prayer to seek God and Jesus Christ as their Lord and Master. If you go to Harvard University today, you can still see the seal that says, Truth for Christ and the church. If you go to that which is, think about it, Columbia University, the founder, of course, being a preacher. Here's what the epitaph would read for Columbia University. It says, the chief things are aimed at this college to teach and to gauge children to know God and Jesus Christ and to love and serve him with all sobriety. The first book that was ever used in education was called the New England Primer. In the New England Primer, on the outside of the book was the Lord's Prayer. On the inside of the book, the alphabet was taught in a theological way with theological verses backing up everything that was taught, such as A was for Adam and the fall, we have all sinned. B was for the Bible. We need to have a mind on the Bible. It's heavens to find. C, it was taught this, Christ crucified for our sinners that would die. And so all of those things that was taught in the New England Primer was taught with biblical connotations, was taught with Bible verses behind them. You take your American dollar, the American dollar on the backside of the American dollar, you'll see that there's a great seal of our nation. You'll see that the seal is unfinished, if you will, as far as the unfinished pyramid. Above the pyramid, there's the eye of God. Surrounding the pyramid, there's the Latin words, which means this, God has smiled upon our beginnings. In 1865, a phrase was added, and it says, in God we trust. Our founding fathers knew exactly what they were doing. Our nation was not founded upon that which was a hope so. Our nation was not founded upon that which was a maybe so. Our nation was founded upon biblical principles that would propagate that which is the gospel of Christianity. 12 out of the 13 colonies that originated here in the United States of America all adopted the Ten Commandments as their civil and criminal codes. The American Bible Society had a president of the American Bible Society who was the second president of the United States, John Adams. The Supreme Court building, think about this, Supreme Court building was built in 1935. On the outside of the Supreme Court building, you'll see that there's Moses and the Ten Commandments. you'll see that there's the House of Representatives. Across from the House of Representatives, you'll see that there's the statue of that which is Moses. President George Washington said this: "It's impossible to govern a world without God and the Bible. All of our dispositions and habits lead to that which is political prosperity only if our religion has high morals and is dependent upon God." In 1782, the U.S. Congress voted in favor of having that which is the Bible in all of our schools. The Constitution ends in the year of our Lord. Our national motto is, "In God we trust." Our pledge is, "One nation under God." The reason that God has blessed America is because America has not forgotten its roots. We were established as a Christian nation. We were established as a biblical continent. We were established under the supreme rulings of God and God alone. Let us not forget that it is God, the one that gives protection. Let us not forget that it is God, the one that gives prosperity. Let us not forget this morning that it is God that reigns, and God that should always reign, and God that should always be praised. Why? Because this is America. I want us to think about it this morning as George Washington was facing that which was the British commander by the name of William Howe. The Bible would tell about how God protects and how God would be our shield and our buckler. And George Washington found out that day. He found out that day as he faced 30,000 veteran British soldiers in New York. George Washington only had 18,000 soldiers. First thing he did in 1776 was to call his soldiers, his troops, in for a meeting. And he said, "Today, if God is going to deliver us, we need to understand that it is God and only God that can deliver us." Do we understand that only one third of the colonies were patriarchs? Do we understand that there were still those that were giving allegiance to that which was the British? Do we understand that George Washington only had a few men, and so they gathered in prayer and they began to pray and ask God to provide a way for them to escape that which was Rhode Island? And so they begin to pray, or Long Island, and so they begin to pray that God would make a way for them to get off of Long Island. All of a sudden, there was a rain that came through. The rain was so hard that the British could not see where they were. What is that? That's God. All of a sudden, the rain stopped suddenly. As the rain stopped suddenly, that river that they were trying to cross was known as a rapid river. That river was an unstable river. But all of a sudden, never before in its day did that river become completely calm. As they're crossing that river with 18,000 troops, they're not yet across the river as the day is now breaking. And George Washington said, "Pray as you walk, men. Pray as you walk, men." And those men kept walking, and they silently prayed. As they silently prayed, there was a wind that came up behind them that pushed their boats over ever so calmly, but yet more speedily than they could get across themselves. And those that were holding on to the boats, trying to walk in those that was the shallow area, it seemed like that God was just floating them along, but yet the sun is coming up. And George Washington said, "Pray as you walk, men. Pray as you walk." And all of a sudden, a fog dropped down between them and the British, and they got across, and General Howe said, "I don't understand how he could get away from us. It must be God." I'm saying that you listen to me. Other countries around the world, we have fought in wars that we should have lost. We have fought in wars that we should have been completely annihilated. But other countries around the world looked at America and said, "It must be God." I'm saying this morning that God has rested his hand of good pleasure. You take Operation Iraqi Freedom. You think about this. We had more casualties in the United States during those times through criminal offenses than that which anybody in the OIR ever suffered whatsoever. Why? It is the hand of God. For every single person that's in this room this morning, we need to understand we don't need God against us. We need God for us. We don't need to rise up and say, let's take prayer out of the public school. Let's put it back in the public school. We don't need to sit and say, okay, they took the Bible out, so let's not read it. I'm telling you, we're a Christian nation. I'm telling you that God blessed us because of that Bible. I'm telling you, it's because we're a Christian nation and God blessed us because of that Bible. We ought to rise up. We ought to decide, let's get that Bible back in the public schools, put it back in the government facilities. Let's decide we're a Christian nation again. Let's decide we'll rise up. We'll do what God wants us to do. I'm saying this morning that God has blessed America. Why has God blessed America? God has blessed America because God saw that America has not forgotten him. Statement number two, what is God to America today? We saw what he was yesteryear, but what is he to America today? Look at Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 14. Isaiah chapter 59 verse 14. The Bible says, and the judgment is turned away backward. Now, why is judgment turned away backward? The Bible says, and justice standeth afar off. Why is justice standeth afar off? The Bible says, for truth is fallen in the street. Listen to it now. The Bible says, and that which is equality cannot enter. All right, now wait a minute. Here's what we see today. We see the reason that God has turned his back. Judgment has turned its back. We see that justice, that's judgmental measures. That's Supreme Court dealings. Justice standeth far off. Now, why? Because that which is truth is fallen in the street. Job chapter 36 and verse 17. The Bible says, but thou hast fulfilled the judgment of the wicked. It says, judgment and justice taketh hold of thee. Why is it that in America today, according to the FBI, that every 24 minutes somebody has their innocency taken from them? Why is it that in America today, every 68 seconds there's a robbery? Why is it in America today that every 51 seconds there's an aggravated assault? Why is it in America today that every 27 seconds there's a violent crime? Why is it in America today that there's a major crime that's committed every 3 seconds in America? Might it be because America is not the America of yesteryear? Might it be that America is trying to push God out rather than exalt God above? Might it be that because we're training our children to be humanistic rather than godly? Might it be because we're ones that try to help them to see that it's not the God of the Bible that changes a life, but it's the way that we self-govern ourselves because of our personality, our persuasion, because of our appeal and our intellect? Might it be that God is choosing to bring some judgments upon America simply because America has turned her back on God? You know, it's very ironic. If you were to enter in, and I don't know if you've ever been to the Supreme Court justice, but if you were to enter in to the Supreme Court justice, behind that which is where the judges sit, you'll see that there's that which is Moses and the Ten Commandments. On the front of the Supreme Court justice building is Moses in the Ten Commandments. If you were to close the doors and that which is the Supreme Court, on the back of the wooden doors is the Ten Commandments. If you were to go and to sit in the juror stand, on every single arm that would come down, that would be in that fence post that divides the juror stand from that which is the judge, is one of the Ten Commandments written on each one of those posts all the way across where the jurors would sit, separating themselves from that which is the common person and the judge. What were they trying to say? Those early judges that would sit there, those ones that erected that building, they were saying that this is where we're going to judge from. It's going to be Bible based. But did you know, because of the fact that years ago there was a law that was passed, separation of church and state, at the very same time separation of church and state was passed, the judges were no longer permitted to walk into the front of the building. They had to come in the back of the building, so they do not face that which is on the front of the building. Wait, we're going backwards. We are not supposed to go backwards. Listen, if we want our children to turn out right, if we want our government to go right, we've got to get back to that which is Bible truth. We're not supposed to let it fall in the street. We're not supposed to let it be under common footage, but we're supposed to exalt it. We're supposed to lift it up. We're supposed to let everybody see it. Why? Because this is America. What is God going to do with America? We see where America came from. We see where America is. But what is God going to do with America? The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34, the Bible says, righteousness exalteth a nation. We're a nation. God said, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is the reproach of any people. The book of Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20, the Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. But yet the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Goes farther than that. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13, the Bible says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. All right, so the Bible teaches that I'm not supposed to just come to God and agree that I am in sin, but I'm supposed to confess it. Not just that, but in order to have mercy, I'm supposed to forsake it. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, the Bible says, behold, this is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Hebrews chapter 2 and in verse 3, the Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? You know, the only way that America is ever going to return to its roots is if we bring America back to God. Now, how do you bring America back to God? How do I bring America back to God? Let's go back to our roots of sharing our Christian faith. You talk to your neighbors about Christ, and you talk to your employees about Christ, and you talk to those that are your employers about Christ, and you talk to your friends about Christ. And you, we ought to be walking gospel people, where every given opportunity we can pass out a track. By the way, you can't change anybody by your personality, though it may be nice. And you cannot change anybody by your personal persuasion, though you might be a great persuader. But you can be able to have a part in somebody being changed as you introduce them to Jesus Christ. See, God will begin to change somebody from the inside out. I've seen people that used to be drunkards and they received Jesus Christ as Savior. They're not drunkards any longer. Why? God changes them from the inside out. I've seen people that were wife beaters and husband beaters and children beaters, but I'm telling you that we have a God in the Bible that's the same God of the Old Testament, New Testament, and the God of America that can change somebody from the inside out. I'm telling you this morning, on the authority of God's word, when somebody receives Jesus Christ as Savior, God begins to work and God begins to help and God begins to direct and God begins to change and God begins to give peace and God begins to give joy and God begins to take and do that inner work of an individual, and only God can change a person. How do we bring America back to God? Let's be the Christians we ought to be. Let's teach our children. Let's teach our grandchildren. Let's take the Bible and show others their need of receiving Jesus Christ as Savior. And God, one by one, could change America back. I'll be honest with you, I'm almost 50. I don't worry about what, and things are changing rapidly in America. But I don't worry as much about my sake as I do my children. and that's to do my grandchildren. I don't worry about, okay, one day they come and they say, just like when Cambodia became communistic, when they come and they say, you cannot preach the Bible on the street corners. By the way, that is communism. When they say you can't pass a gospel tract out to somebody. When they say that we're taking your religious freedoms away. I don't worry about Brother Doughty one day them coming and grabbing me out of a pulpit, which I don't think happened, and carrying me out and saying you can't. I'm not worried. Honestly, I don't think it happened in my lifetime. But I'm worried about my kids. And I'm worried about my grandkids. And I'm worried about my great-grandkids. The only way it's going to change is if we do our part, Brother Bell. We take a gospel track. By the time when we sit down with somebody and we care about them and we love them, and we show them their need, Brother Martin, of receiving Jesus Christ, and we help them to see, Brother Palmore, that they need Jesus Christ as their Savior. And now God begins to work. And God begins to change a life. And nobody can change a life like Jesus Christ.
Thank you for listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit us online at pbcmesquite.org. And if you're ever in the Dallas, Texas area, we'd love to have you visit our church.